I invite you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, page 787 in your red pew Bibles. I encourage you to follow along in these words of Jesus. I always like to do a series during the time of Lent. And so I was just kind of looking for something to do. I'm not very original on my own. I kind of see what's out there. And I found something from a pastor in Northern Virginia, and I thought the topic was really interesting and the scriptures that went with it. And so we're going to, for the next 6 weeks, we're going to look at this series called Vision Problems, looking at the different physical problems associated with the eye and apply those problems that we encounter in our spiritual lives, spiritual vision problems, in which we have difficulty seeing God, difficulty understanding God and His Word, or even understanding ourselves the way that God would want us to. So our scripture today deals with spiritual astigmatism. I'll get into that a little bit, but let's look at our scripture right now, Matthew chapter 6, and Jesus is teaching here in the Sermon on the Mount. And we'll start in verse 1. He says this, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen and heard by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." Now, skip down to verse 16. "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full." Now, apparently, back in the day, people would kind of put ashes on their face and just let themselves go, okay? You had matted hair, and then you had the look like, "Oh, I'm so hungry because I'm fasting," you know. So that's what's going on there. Verse 17, "But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, clean yourself up, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So, astigmatism is when you have an uneven curvature of your eye's cornea. And the cornea is normally just a clear, rounded dome that covers the surface of the eye. But when you have astigmatism, that shape is not round anymore. It's kind of like becomes oval, more like a football. And that irregular shape affects how light is focused inside of your eye. And when you can't focus that light with precision, the light is bent a little bit, then the result is that you get blurry vision and you have difficulty driving at night. Well, in our spiritual lives, we can have blurred vision as well. We might call it spiritual astigmatism. And here's what I mean by that. When our understanding of God and His world and even ourselves, when that becomes blurry, we are not seeing things as clearly as we should or as we could, as God wants us to. And so we may think along these lines, does God still love me? Can I be forgiven of that after what I did? Perhaps our understanding of Scripture can become blurry right? Does the Bible really say that? Does it really mean that? Those teachings of Jesus that I just read, does he really mean that, or is that just hyperbole? That's just meant for some super holy people. Or our understanding of ourselves is blurry. Is what I'm doing, is it all that bad? Is it sinful? I mean, it feels right to me. It seems right to me. And the understanding of our world becomes blurry as we look at other people and we look what's going on and what becomes common. And we just say, well, it's really not that bad. After all, other people are participating in it. I kind of think it's okay. And then we don't look at people in our world as well with compassion like Jesus did. That gets a little blurry. We become more judgmental and condemning and cynical. And our world, our response to the world becomes blurry then. The world's a mess. What can I do? What can I do in that situation? Can I really make a difference? I don't think so. We'll just keep going on. And then even our future can become blurry. Am I really saved? How can I know? And when we begin to answer some of those questions, because we have this blurriness in our lives, we start then looking at ourselves for the answer, right? And then when we start doing that, it all comes down to what seems right to me, by what I think is right, by what I like, what I am going to get out of it, but, you know, according to my rights that I have. And so right and wrong, good and bad, true and false, it is what I think it is, then everything becomes subjective. And so then, even good and holy things like prayer and fasting and giving and doing good works, that too becomes about me. That other people would see my actions and start thinking about me. Oh, hey Greg, he's a good guy. Right? Look at him. He's holy. He's dedicated. He's righteous. And so then our actions are then motivated by, well, what's in it for me? How am I going to benefit by doing this? But in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking about life within the kingdom of God, this new way of living that Jesus showed us, where all of our actions are not done for me, but they are done for God. Living in such a way that we bring glory to God, not to impress other people, not to get compliments or admiration or approval, but things that are done solely for God. Now, it's okay. Okay? It's okay if people see me doing good works. It's okay if someone hears me pray. It's okay if the people who count the money in my tax account, if they know how much I give, right? That's okay, but that should never be our motivation for doing it, Jesus says. Now, why does Jesus make a big deal about this? Here's the interesting thing. When you have astigmatism in your eye, that can develop from if you have an eye injury or surgery or you had a disease or something like that. But in many cases, you are born with astigmatism. And it will just pop out sometime in your life. Okay? You're just born with it. And the same thing is true about spiritual astigmatism. Okay? We are born with this condition where we naturally focus on ourselves first before we start focusing on God. It's just in our nature. It's in our DNA. Okay? We think about ourselves first, which is why we struggle so often with seeing clearly who God is or what his world is about or even ourselves. Okay? That's why we struggle with that. But Jesus, the great physician, came to heal. Right? He came to show us. Now, wait a minute. When you focus on yourselves, you're not able to see God and his world clearly. It's a little blurry out there. He came to show us that. And when we don't see clearly, when we live for the approval of other people, that drives us away from God. Okay? It just drives. When we live for the approval of others, when we live what benefits me, that drives us away from God. And Lent is all about getting closer to God. And it's all about getting rid of those hindrances that prevent us from getting closer to God. And so the good news The good news, if you have astigmatism, you can go to your eye doctor and he'll give you glasses and you'll probably fix it, right? Jesus has a cure for spiritual astigmatism. One of my hobbies that I like to do, you know, I like to go outdoors. One of my hobbies is I like to go bird watching. Okay? This is one of the things you need whenever you go bird watching, because if you ever get close to birds, they fly away. So you got to watch them from a distance. So that's why binoculars are helpful. Now, when you're bird watching, you got to learn how to, it takes some little bit of training. I know you're kind of going, really? Because one of the things, you know, you see a bird on a branch, a little bump on a branch. I think that's a bird, okay? So you do this and you're kind of going, what? I can't find it. Where is it? What? Yeah, it's still there, you know. Okay, fourth tree over, third branch up. You know, it takes some time to get that bird in the center of the lens. You know, it just takes a little practice doing that. And so the first step to curing spiritual astigmatism is putting God in the center of your life. Putting God in the center of your life. Look at that final verse that we read this morning that Jesus said. In essence, in that verse, Jesus is asking us a question. He's telling us, but then he's challenging us, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And Jesus is kind of saying, folks, you have to decide what you're going to treasure the most in this world. Is it going to be God, or is it going to be something else? Is it going to be that something else can be money and security? Now, please, because I know everybody in here will just say, well, God's the most important thing in my life, because you're here, right? But it's always a challenge. And so we have to really get down and ask this question. What do we, you know, what is that something else? Is it money or security? Is it a person or people or family we treasure the most? A leisure activity? It could be what we really treasure is power and control over other people. It could be being popular. We just love it when people look to us and turn to us, and we just love having the last word and making people laugh. We just treasure that the most. And so Jesus is saying, listen, if what you treasure the most is from that list, then he's saying that is what you are going to give your heart to. That's what you're giving your heart to. And that's what you're going to give your time and your energy and you give your life to. And if that's what I give my life to, Jesus is saying, you are not going to see God clearly. You're not going to understand his kingdom clearly. You're not going to even understand yourself clearly. You've got spiritual astigmatism. But if we want to cure that, we need to put God at the center of our life, which means everything else must be secondary, including our family. Now, that's a tough pill to swallow, but it's not coming from me, okay? Jesus cannot be an add-on to your life. What I like to say is Jesus can't be a hobby in our life. You know what we do with our hobbies, right? I mean, if we have more time, you work with a hobby. If I have more time, then I go to church. If I have the time, then I'll get involved in serving. If I have extra money, then I'll give. Okay, that's when your faith, that's when Jesus just becomes a hobby in our life. But what Jesus is saying here, listen, there's the in the kingdom, Jesus is at the hub. Jesus is the center of the wheel, the center of every area of our life. Our work, our family, our church, our leisure, our politics. This is the cure, is when we put Jesus at the center. He's calling us to treasure him the most. That's what he's calling us to. Now, the second step whenever you go bird watching is, okay, you get the bird in there, in the center of the lens. The second thing you need to do is what? Is you need to use the focus wheel, right? You need to focus by turning that little focus wheel there to bring it into clear view. Here's the second thing, and that is we need to sharpen our focus. When we've made a commitment to put God at the center, we now have to fine-tune things, and we sharpen our focus using scripture and prayer and meditation and giving and fasting and following the teachings of Jesus. All those things that Jesus mentioned there in Matthew chapter 6 are good things to do. Those are good things to do. Jesus just brought them up because people had been doing them with the wrong motivation. And so when we commit to them with God being at the center of our life, that brings us closer to God and helps to correct our spiritual vision. And then we see God and we see His kingdom clearer. So we sharpen our focus with those things. And finally, number 3 is that we enjoy God's blessings. Enjoy God's blessings. So much of Lent is negative. When you can just mention the word Lent, it's like, oh yeah, I've got it. Oh yeah. No chocolate. I'll load up on Tuesday night, you know. No chocolate. I got to give up. I got to fast. I got to get rid of this. No Facebook. But notice the scripture we read here. 7 times, Jesus uses the word reward. Okay? Our God is a giver. Our God is a blesser. Our God rewards His children. And so Lent is not meant to be its time of suffering or pain or no fun. It is meant to be a period when we examine ourselves and we take away, we remove those things that are keeping God from blessing us so that He can bless us, right? And He can reward us. Lent need not be a negative time. And so we come to the table this morning. And this is an opportunity for all of us to put God at the center. To re-put Him at the center. And then to refocus, to sharpen our focus. And so I'm going to give you a time of silence to do that. And then as we take communion, let this be a time where let this whole period, this whole time to the end of the service, be a time of prayer where you listen to God on what He specifically... That's why silence is important. Because I don't want to tell you, I can't tell you what you need to do in your life. The Holy Spirit will. And so that's why we take times of silence where you ask God, where you just say, Lord, I'm going to commit to putting You at the center. What do I need to do to focus? What changes do I need to make in my life? So, let's do that now during this time of silence. God, we thank You for the challenge of Jesus this morning. We pray that this would help to open up our eyes, that we might see You more clearly, that we might see ourselves more clearly. God, give us courage and strength to continue on with these changes that You have showed us. Bring people into our life to encourage us as we sharpen our vision this week. Father, we thank You for sending Your Son to die in our place. We thank You that Jesus' body was broken on the cross, that He, through the example that He led, that whole giving up of Himself for the sake of others that cost Him His life. May we not take that lightly. But we are so grateful that You have done that. Lord, we thank You that His blood was shed for our sins, that He defeated the evil one and the powers of the devil on the cross. They really don't have control over us anymore. And so we celebrate that, and our sins that have put them there have been covered. And because of Jesus, we are declared right. in your eyes. We thank you. We praise you for that. And so we come to the table this morning and we celebrate this communion, this Lord's Supper, celebrating the fact of all those things, and we remember this mighty act that Jesus did. And we ask these things in his name. Amen.